It's time to get empowered and realize your true beauty with tips, breakthroughs, and secrets of the industry. And now, here's your host, your personal beauty guru, David Pollack, and health expert, Lisa Davis.
Have you ever tried to buy the perfect cologne or perfume for your spouse? I know I have, and it's not easy. And so today's guest is going to help us. We're going to have a lot of fun talking about different fragrances and perfumes. And our guest is Deborah Fulsang, and she's a veteran journalist with more than 20 years of experience in the areas of fashion, beauty, style, entertainment, and design for Canada's top media outlets and brands. And with that experience and a particular passion of perfume, she launched The Whale and the Rose. And that's a website focused around fragrance, and it's been around since 2012. So I'm going to dive right in and start talking. Deborah, thank you, because I want to talk all about perfume today.
Perfect. That's great.
So we started
right up my alley.
Obviously, so you're the expert. I should have gotten your help a little while back. You know, I wanted to surprise my wife with a gift, and you go into the perfume store, and I got to tell you, it's like a guy walking into Victoria's Secret. We just get lost.
It's true. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of fragrances are launched every year, so it is overwhelming. Absolutely.
So how do you go about it? I walk into a store. I've got a sea of different scents. How do you know what's right for somebody?
Well, I think you have to do a little bit of, it's best to do a bit of homework first. And if you can snoop around a little bit and see what your spouse really is into right now, that can help guide you. But one way, okay, I like to think about it when shopping for, go ahead, sorry.
Wait, no, I was going to say, I'm a guy. We don't notice things. So we well, go ahead. That
was, you have funny. You have to look around. So, I mean, if they love, always a good bet. If they love, you know, Chanel No. 5, or if they love a specific Dior scent or Tom Ford scent, I think they're going to be happy if you got them something in the same kind of brand. That's usually a good way to go too. But one thing I say to people when they're trying to find something new is think about the other person and think about their happy place. Think about what it is, where are they when they're their most happy? So if their whole thing is they love the beach, then look for a scent or talk to somebody in the store about a scent that has kind of what they call ozonic notes, like smells like the ocean and sand and the beach and maybe a little salt in there. Or if they love their favorite thing is sitting by the fire, look for a scent that's got resins and wood and smoke and stuff in it. That to them is super sexy and makes them feel good from inside. Or you could think about people that love to cook. You know, if the kitchen is their happy place, there's tons of new fragrances out there that have lots of herbs and edible notes in them. So just think about what motivates them and makes them smile, and that's usually a good way to start.
Okay, but if I'm shopping for my wife, that happy place should be next to me, right?
Exactly. You have to think about them.
No, I'm being funny. I tease her all the time. It should be the other way around. But I got to find stuff. Anyway, okay. So talk to us about with perfume. Like, what type of emotions can it invoke in somebody? You know, does it help them, make them happier, less stress? Or, you know, what kind of emotions can a fragrance do for somebody?
Well, it's really interesting because it's so connected to your limbic system. It's like automatic. You know, perfume has this ability to transport you in time and to a different place. Like you can smell, let's say, lilac. And for me, when I smell lilac, I'm immediately transported to my grandmother's garden with these huge bushes of lilacs. And it's a great memory. And it's a feel-good scent to me. But you can use fragrance. Like, let's say you want to create a ritual and use fragrance to help you de-stress. I mean, everybody's working so much, multitasking all the time. So you can really use fragrance to help you de-stress and create a little ritual at home where, you know, you have a scent that you love. Let's say it's scented candles. And so create a pattern where maybe you light a few candles, and that's the prelude to, you know, relaxing, sort of getting sort of your head away from work and sort of these other demands. Maybe it's followed by a bath. Maybe it's followed by a nice cocktail with your partner, or just downtime where it's a good relaxed space. And if you do that several times, you're training your brain. So then eventually, you know, you could just, you know, light that candle immediately. And that scent, whether it's vanilla or whatever, will immediately trigger in your mind, oh, it's relaxed time. So your body and your brain kind of start reacting immediately. It's very kind of Pavlovian. I kind of love that sort of that metaphor for it, because it's very true.
No, that's a good point. Okay, so I'm going to throw a curveball here. I don't know what percentage of people don't wear perfume at all, or are there natural perfumes or essential oil derived ones that maybe somebody would wear?
Sure, there are lots of natural perfumes and essential oils. I mean, oils themselves you can use. Perfumes are, like, the majority of perfume notes are synthetic now. There are thousands of synthetic notes. And, you know, many, many natural notes. So the science is still out on why some people think they're sensitive to fragrances, what is in it that they're responding to.
Is there a larger percentage of people that don't wear perfume? I wear cologne every day, and I guarantee mine's synthetic. I mean, I'm not worried about it. I pick it based on smell, not the health side, and that's the truth. But, you know, I do know a few people that don't like wearing perfume, or maybe just an essential oil. And I was curious, is that a growing segment, or do you think that's just a small segment that's more health conscious or whatever? I know some of the fragrances can be sensitizing. Sometimes it's a solvent they put it in. Sometimes I have allergies to some of them. I work with chemicals all day long. Formulating, but there are certain things that I am allergic to more so than others. So I was just curious
I don't think it's growing. I mean, in the the last 20 years, the discussion, I hear different experts, perfumers, and a whole host of people talking about it. It is absolutely an area of development. I don't get the sense that it's really a growing market. There's definitely some perfumers and some brands that specialize in that category, just as there are in beauty. But I don't have the numbers to say that, yes, it's growing significantly or not. I think people are more aware.
Yeah, I was just curious. And I know some of the fragrance houses we use are going more into natural, but the scents they're creating smell just like the synthetic. So I'm curious, you know, what the future holds for the industry. But, you know, on that note, what do you see some of the trends for the spring to bring? What do you think's coming our way, or what should we be looking for?
Well, it's interesting. You know, we speak about natural, and I think natural, you know, the definition of which can take many forms depending on the marketers, right? So also natural in the sense of there's definitely a movement to herbal notes, different floral notes, especially white florals, a lot of citrus notes. So all of those things could be construed as natural, violet. And you'll also see a lot more interesting and unusual packaging, like really fun, graphic, interesting bottles as well coming up.
Interesting. And citrus has been around for a little bit. You see it going forward?
I do, and I think there's a real interest in colognes, and colognes generally are, you know, a citrus base in them, but it's being explored, all these different citrus fruits, from pomelo to lime and yuzu, and so all different kind of interpretations of citrus, where it all used to be just, you know, lemon or orange, and now there's so much choice. And those kind of citrus notes are so easy to wear. And they're, again, unisex as well. So that's a big trend as well. So men, women.
Actually,
you know, everyone.
No, that's an interesting point. I have seen more and more unisex colognes and perfumes coming up. The citrus I see, I think I call it citrus, but more clean scents. So it is, you know, I'm just seeing it from that side. I'm a consumer because I formulate products in the lab, but not perfumes. And so each one's a different art or specialty, of course. So it's interesting.
Right.
So, okay, we're going to run out of time here. It goes very, very fast. So I appreciate it, especially with some of the trends you have. So, but I'm going to invite our listeners to learn more. Visit thewhaleandtherose.com. And I want to thank you for being with us, Deborah. I love the subject. I wear a lot of different colognes and I live by them, so I love it. So I've enjoyed the topic. I want to thank everybody for listening. I'm David Pollack, your beauty guru. And remember, if you have a question about beauty, do what the big brands do. Just Ask David.
The preceding show was produced by the Gab Radio Network. For more information about the services we provide, Visit GabRadioNetwork.com.